The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
BT and Sal back on the fair. We'll get back to your calls here in just a minute. Talking Aaron Glenn and the Jets. 888-808-1019. It's not official yet, but all reports indicating that that's what the Jets want to happen. They will be in the building today. Newmark and Aaron Glenn. So we'll keep you posted on that. Before we get to the Aaron Rodgers part of things, BT, I just was reading something from the Post.
Okay.
How much do you think Ben Johnson is getting per year? And this is the, we don't know definitively how much he's getting per year or the length of the contract, but I guess the Post just put something out there that Mike Florio said the early figure
general
is X per year.
Okay. I would say he's getting...
John Harbaugh with Baltimore makes $12 million, and Kyle Shanahan makes $12 million as well. $12 million a year.
All right, he's not making that, and if it is, that's ridiculous. I'd say 10?
$13 million per year.
Are you serious?
And that's how I knew what the others were making, because he said it's $1 million more than Harbaugh with the Ravens and Shanahan. Now, I don't know that it's definite, but that's according to, I think, Mike Florio, who the Post was writing about that.
Mike Florio.
You know, Ben Johnson.
I haven't seen him break anything in years. You'd have to think it's 6 years, right?
Huge. Okay, Florio catching strays.
I just haven't. I mean, there was a point I read that every day. It's become so snarky. Yeah. I don't waste my time.
Now, who knows what the actual terms, how many years it'd be? I mean, $13 million a year for a first-time guy for, what, 4 or 5 years?
No, it's not going to be four. I would have to think it's six. I think five is the floor. Listen, if you are in demand enough to get $13 million, more than guys who have been in the Super Bowl and won national... John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh got 12.
12,
right,
and Chatty said 12.
Yeah.
If you could command $13 million per year, you can command at least five. I think it's probably six. It could even be seven. Remember, Rule got 8 years back in the day
with Carolina?
With Carolina. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
But...
He's another guy I wanted the Jets to hire back.
Yeah, I liked him too.
All right, so back to the Jets. Do you think, forget what we would do, you and I, each individual with Rodgers, I think we'd both bring him back at this point.
Yep.
And obviously we'd make that decision be up to the head coach. What do you think Aaron Glenn would want to do with his former MVP Super Bowl winning quarterback?
I think he wants to keep him. That's my gut. You know, if he was in Detroit with a young quarterback, maybe that would shape a different view. Not that Jared Goff is as old as Rodgers or as good as Rodgers was at his height, but he's a veteran quarterback that's been around a little bit here. So he's probably a little bit more willing to go to the well with that. And listen, the only reason, well, there's two reasons why you wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers to be in the building. Number one, you think that he would overshadow you. Which I don't think that Aaron Rodgers will. I know that some others think, many people think that he will. I don't think that at all. So that also ties into the confidence, the self-confidence that Aaron Glenn has, which I think is through the roof. Not in an egotistical, I'm going to shove it down your face, but in a quiet, confident, I think he's in charge.
He's not going to get steamrolled.
I don't think he worries about that.
I agree with that. He's not going to get steamrolled by Rodgers' big personality.
No, I don't think so at all. The other reason why you wouldn't want Rodgers is if you really just think that he can't play. And remember, before the, what was that bad game toward the end of the season where they got absolutely waxed? I'm forgetting. But there was a point where...
Cardinals?
Way after the Cardinals. They got stomped in that game 31-6. I forget which game it was. Maybe the Bills game. Maybe the second Bills game. But before that, they were... Yeah, I think it was that Bills game.
Pick one. Throw a dart. You're likely to hit one that the Jets
got. No, but they didn't lose. They didn't get smashed a lot. That was what was so tough about this season. They actually lost a lot of one-score games. They were 0-6, whatever. The point is, during a nice little eight-game span, Aaron Rodgers had 14 touchdowns and one pick. And that's on film. Now, if the Jets had a top two pick, maybe that's different. Maybe they love somebody that we don't know about. Maybe they're ready to make a monster move and maybe move up. I don't know, but if you ask me today if it is Aaron Glenn, and I think it will be, my guess is that he will be very amenable to Aaron Rodgers returning.
I agree, and I think that if they do, in fact, hire Glenn, it means that Rodgers will, in fact, be back. I'm not saying that that's why they're doing it, but think about what all the other first-time head coaches, defensive coordinators have had to work with. Glenn would be a fool to move on from Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Like, he's got it. If it were an offensive mind, Joe Brady or McCown, and they wanted to pick their own guy, totally different story.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you're going to take some lumps with a different quarterback. In this particular case, Aaron Glenn should have one less problem to worry about than Todd Bowles had or than Robert Saleh had, just to name a couple. You have a quarterback in place that proved at the end of the year he can be competent here. He's a proven leader and veteran. He knows what he's doing. Aaron Rodgers can be an asset to a first-time head coach, assuming that Rodgers will want Aaron Glenn. And I don't see anything in their personalities that why Rodgers wouldn't want Glenn or vice versa. I almost think it's a more perfect marriage to some of the other opportunities that might have been out there.
We're on the same page with this. Not necessarily on the same page with thinking Glenn could be the answer for the Jets. We disagree a little bit there, but I think we're more in lockstep on this. Here's the other thing, too, and I'm just going to put myself in Aaron's shoes. Now, maybe a coach doesn't think this way because they're confident and they're just immersed in different things, but one thing that happens here, and it's happening now with Daboll, all right, after a good first year, is that your record, and it certainly happened to Robert Saleh early, your record constantly gets regurgitated.
Yeah.
Constantly get, oh, you know, he's 7-22. He's 8-28, okay? And even with Rodgers and with an increased, you know, run defense and some tweaks, Jets ain't getting to the Super Bowl next year. But I don't think they are.
You'll regenerate by August.
Yeah, maybe
a
little
bit,
depending upon what they do. There's always that possibility. I'm not going to lie to you. But, I mean, being of sane mind today, or at least somewhat sane, you know, you tell me the Jets are 9-8 next year, maybe 10-7, play a wild card game. I could believe that, right? And if you start out, let's go with the lower version. If they're 9-8 and then Rodgers retires the next year and Rodgers is the quarterback when they're 9-8, guess what? Now if you go to a young quarterback in year two and you take your lumps and you're 4-13, suddenly, you know, 9-4, you know, you start adding the wins. It's a lot more 500-ish. It just doesn't look like the eyesore that people gravitate to, call us up, tweet about, complain about, that usually greases the skids to get fired.
And by the way, let me just be clear, because you said that I don't believe that Glenn could be the guy. I think he could be. He just wouldn't be the guy that I would have hired. I would have gone with experience. I would have tried to eliminate the question marks. But I certainly think there's a path, especially if it's with Aaron Rodgers. Now, if Rodgers somehow was out of the equation, Glenn, Woody, Rodgers, any of the three decide that they don't want the marriage to continue, then to me, all bets are off, because now you're really starting from the same spot.
Yep.
With Joe stopgap coming in or a rookie quarterback.
It's a big burden. I want Aaron Glenn, if he's the guy, to have some fingerprints on this offense. I was telling Sal before, it was probably 30 minutes ago, like, just think about this. Like, the first week of training camp, Aaron Glenn, even though he's a defensive guy, and he's still in good shape, and that matters to athletes. Like, he doesn't look like a slob. He looks awesome. And he can walk on that practice field, and he can grab a young wide receiver. I don't mean by the face mask like it's 1970, but he can get up there and say, hey, listen, when this guy does this, when he jams you, do this. Like, he can show him, because he did that, and he knew how to disengage from receivers and vice versa, because he played the position at a very high level. That matters. Robert Saleh, if he was able to bench press a UPS truck, at Robert Saleh, because he didn't play at that level at all, could knock it on the practice field and look a pro in the eye and say, this is how you do it, because I did it.
BT and Sal on the Fan, taking your Jets calls on the potential hiring of Aaron Glenn, who's in the building today. David is in Westchester. What's up, David?
This is absolutely excruciating. That, like, if the Jets had a decent infrastructure and an organization, go ahead and hire another coordinator, and let's hope maybe it'll work out, because maybe he could be great and motivate people. We don't. And if Woody signs off on another coordinator, and this is, again, a coordinator who's never won a Super Bowl on one of the six teams he played for or was a coordinator for or has no experience doing that, like, why don't we set the bar a little bit lower again?
Who would you hire?
Ridiculous.
Who would you hire?
I'd go get Steve Spagnuolo and write him a check for $13 million.
Come on. He's a horrendous head coach. Anybody.
Give me somebody. Somebody who's been a head coach.
But he was an awful head coach. Well, he was terrible.
But he values the experience. I mean, I could understand
that. But if the experience isn't remotely successful, where's the value?
Yeah, but that was pre the Chiefs.
Yeah, but he had Steve Spagnuolo has been a great defensive coordinator, David, and thank you for the call.
Thanks, bud.
There are plenty of guys, though, that have experience. So it wouldn't just be, hey, just hire anybody with experience.
Understood.
You have Mike McCarthy available. Why on God's green earth would you hire Steve Spagnuolo to be your head coach if you could go get Mike McCarthy, who was a good head coach and won a Super Bowl prior? So I agree with the philosophy and experience. I would not go to the extent of Steve Spagnuolo.
Okay, do this for me, yeah. All right? All things considered, even you are Woody, and you could theoretically have access to and hire anybody that's available this coaching cycle. So forget about Tomlin trading for him. I want your top five candidates. I know Pete Carroll and McCarthy are, who you would have hired.
Who's available now or just from the clean slate of before?
Before. So Ben Johnson's on the list because even though he's with the Bears.
I don't know if I'd have, top five, yes, I'd have him.
Go ahead. Number one, you going Pete Carroll or McCarthy?
I need to interview those guys to give you the definitive answer, but they're both one
They're up
two.
There. Yeah. Okay, so we got Pete
Carroll,
and we've got McCarthy.
Flores.
Flores, gotcha.
Carroll, McCarthy, Flores. I probably have Gruden on that list as well. I know you don't love him.
I got you. I mean, it's not terrible. I understand why.
Oh, and remember, this is a pattern of what I want and what I value.
Yep.
Carroll, McCarthy, Flores, Gruden.
What about Rex? If you value the success.
No.
Okay.
Well, you know,
early success.
You keep your Spagnuolo over Rex. Come on.
Who else is out there?
Well, I mean, I'd probably.
Matt Galen, number five?
It would be between Vrabel.
I forgot about Vrabel.
Johnson.
Vrabel.
Yeah, but you know, I didn't love him as much anyway.
I don't know why.
Vrabel,
but all right.
I'd probably go Ben Johnson five because I would want the young, potentially brilliant offensive mind. Now, I don't want to put these in any order, but you said top five candidates who Sal Licata, would want to interview for my football team.
Correct.
That are out there this year. Carroll, McCarthy, Flores, Gruden, and.
And Vrabel.
No,
five. Or Ben
Johnson, right?
Okay.
I couldn't read my own handwriting. And by the way, of these five, the Jets actually only interviewed one in Flores. They only talked to one of the guys.
No, they interviewed Vrabel. He was their first one.
Well, I didn't have him on my list.
Oh, that's right. I wrote him down, so I keep making that mistake.
McCarthy.
That's true.
Flores,
that's true.
Gruden, and Johnson. You want to say Flores, Vrabel, to me, would be splitting hairs, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or you want to add a sixth Vrabel, that's fine. But yeah, like the majority of guys that I would want. But that's just me. Doesn't
so Aaron Glenn's not in your top five. That's what
he
I was getting after.
He would not be. Doesn't mean it's not can't be a great hire.
Understood.
Because I do think he's got good potential.
Understood. For me, Vrabel was always one. I had no interest. Again, this is having the deep conversation interview if I owned the Jets.
Yep.
It would have been Vrabel. I would not have, spoken to Gruden. I would have absolutely spoken to McCarthy.
It's two.
That's a bad job by the Jets. I would not have spoken to Pete Carroll, as I've said many times. I would have absolutely spoken to Flores.
Right,
so I've got no order. I've got Vrabel, McCarthy, Flores. I would have spoken to Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
Aaron would have always been on any list constructed. Aaron Glenn would have been on it.
Pete is in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Pete. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up,
you know, I'm lukewarm on Glenn, too. You know, I don't know why you guys are so down on Spags. His head coaching experience was like 15 years ago. I mean, I don't, you know, all the guy has is a ring for every finger on his left hand. I don't know why you'd be so down on him. If I was going to go for a defensive coordinator to a head coach, it really would have been Spags. And I would have honestly have looked to bring in the assistant GM from the Chiefs, who I know the Jets interviewed. That would have been the tandem I would have gone for. If you're going to bring in Glenn, I don't know if you keep Rodgers. Maybe for an offensive coordinator candidate to work with Glenn, you see if Bieniemy, who is with Colorado right now, might be interested in coming back to the NFL.
I'm not interested in Bieniemy.
Bieniemy? He couldn't get a job when he was at his peak. He's been a disaster.
The last quarterback, because he went to get a head coaching job.
Yep.
No one wanted to hire him. I mean, two weeks ago.
Why do you think nobody wanted to hire him? And it was
podcasts all over the place talking about that he's being blackballed by the NFL, so I don't know.
No, it's bullcrap. And what are you talking about? Didn't he get a coordinator job with the Commanders? Where did he go after he left the Chiefs to get an offensive coordinator job?
Sanders.
Well, yeah, and he failed there.
Something else happened with Washington last year.
Yeah, but that's kind of his track record. Unless he's with Mahomes, the track record is... I'm not trying to besmirch the man's reputation, but there's a blackball for what? There's a reason why he is viewed as less than some of these other candidates.
He's got a bad reputation.
He does.
Years ago, I was told that the Atlanta Falcons were dying to hire Bieniemy. He interviewed poorly, and that was a common theme throughout the, how many, 3-4 years when he was a top candidate. So forget Bieniemy. So anyway, go ahead.
So now give me, you guys have gone through the head coaching, the top five head coaching candidates a couple of times now. Who are your top five OC candidates for this? For a first-time head coach with a defensive background,
honestly, that's a little trickier for me. I like McCown.
Yeah, me too.
I really do.
I would go McCown. Now, look, and thank you for the call, Pete. We appreciate you checking in. You know, again, you're not going to take the current offensive coordinator to do the same job in most cases with the Jets. McCown might be one that you want to bring in here, familiarity with the Jets. I just like the idea, in theory, of having him. And I always thought even McCown, when he was playing with the Jets, that could be...
100%.
That came up at some point.
Many times. I always thought, he was
a player-type coach.
Everyone loves him, respects him.
Yeah, and by the way, you bring him... Let's just say Glenn brings him in, it's the perfect marriage. In 2 years, he's going to get a job somewhere else, or next year even, based on the offensive success that you have.
Now, do you guard against that? Hold on, real quick. That's an interesting point. Like... You know, because you want continuity. And obviously, if you have success, then your coordinators get jobs, and that reflects very well on you. But if you're Aaron Glenn, do you want somebody like McCown, who's so highly thought of, do you want to have to go through, say, upheaval or staff turmoil 1 year after the job?
But I think that's the dilemma between hiring an offensive head coach, or at least part of it, and a defensive guy, is that if you hire the offensive coach, your system is in place. His system's in place. You want him, ideally, to me, I want my head coach in today's NFL, an offensive mind who calls the plays. Because no matter who you hire to be the new offensive coordinator, whether it's Josh McCown or some unknown from Detroit, you know, the guy under Ben Johnson,
the assistant, or the quarterback coach, or the whatever.
You hire him and he has success in 2 years, he's gone.
I know.
That's the problem.
I know.
But we
should only be so lucky to have that problem.
Having
teams poach our coaches.
It is true, but when Sean McVay's coaches continue to get poached, or Sirianni's coaches continue,
they still win.
Because they have their guy, the main piece to that tree.
Also have a quarterback.
Yeah. That's the connection right there. McVay, though, is, to me, he's like the brilliant offensive mind.
He's great. I mean, I would hire McVay in a minute. I'd give him the keys to the building. It was never a remote possibility.
And you look at his offensive tree, like Atlanta may have that. Well, they hired Robinson, I think was his name, from the Rams last year.
Yep.
And now if he goes on to be a good coordinator in the next couple of years, maybe he moves on to Raheem Morris as a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to hire a new one. Like, that's just, it's a part of it. But that's why I do think it's important they hire a good one if Aaron Glenn is the choice for the Jets, but also know that he might be gone in a year or two, which is why I would also skew offense.
I'll tell you, one thing that I would do, and we're getting ahead of ourselves. Aaron hasn't even been announced yet as the head coach. But one thing, and I want, if it's Glenn, I do want him to surround himself with some lifers. A couple, and maybe not as the head guy, like the head OC or the DC, but...
Well, you want like Dick Curl to be the clock manager?
Yeah, I don't know if I want Dick Curl to do anything. I would say somebody that I would love to see the Jets hire is Nick Mangold, who I believe is coaching at Dalbarton right now. I know he's coaching high school, and he's bring him in as the, even if it's the assistant offensive line coach, that's a guy that I want in the building.
Yeah, I could see
he's
that.
He's coaching.
Yeah, I would rather have somebody with a little more experience.
Well, that's why I say he's second. He's number two. He's like the assistant O-line coach, whatever. I just think he's got the temperament. It's modern enough. And I think he's brilliant. I think he just really communicates it well.
Hire one of these veteran guys who may not be able to connect to the players the way that the head coach Aaron Glenn will, but a guy who's going to show you the ropes of how, you know, hey, any questions you have, I've done this before many times over, you hit me with it. Have your right-hand man that has some experience.
And he's still young enough, and he's still, you know, spry enough and athletic enough. He can get down to the stance and show these guys how to move some pads.
And you're really into that, huh? Getting hands-on.
I am,
like,
actually.
I think the arm movements and the getting down, I think it matters.
I think it matters. I really do. I don't know. I'm just putting my mindset, you know, I coach all the kids. Yeah. Like, I don't know, if I was 9, 10, 11 years old and I would appreciate the time and the effort, but if I had a coach who just rolled out the balls, or a coach could actually get out there and do some dribbling and shooting, I mean, what would resonate more with me?
I know, but as a head coach, generally they say the last thing you do is actually coach the players. You're running everything else.
Nah, I understand.
Like getting in a dirt there. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls. We come back 888-808-1019. AT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We're talking Jets football with Aaron Glenn in the building today, BT.
Yeah, and I saw something pretty interesting that I think Jet fans who are a little alarmed with having so many first-time, potentially first-time people, you know, basically maybe the Jets make the same mistake. Connor Hughes tweeted about inside of an hour ago, he said, if the Jets hire Glenn as the head coach, a name I've heard associated with him as D.C., is Steve Wilks, a longtime assistant, multiple stops as the D.C., a couple of stints as a head coach as well, valuable experience for a first-time head coach. So if that is true, I like that.
That's the exact. I didn't see that tweet. That's the exact type of hire that we were just talking about before the break, where Wilks is a guy, I thought he got screwed in Arizona. Remember, you got one year with Josh Rosen, then they fired him to bring in Cliff Kingsbury and draft Kyler Murray. Wilks is exactly that guy that I'm talking about, because Glenn could go to him, and he's, okay, so he's not like some special role. He's going to be the defensive coordinator, which, you know, he's been a terrific defensive coordinator, but also has head coaching experience at multiple stops. He was in Carolina as well, right?
Yes.
Head coach. Right, so you have multiple stops where he can reference and mm-hmm. use as, hey, this is what happens here. This is what we need to do there. I love that for a first-time head coach and Aaron Glenn hiring a guy like Steve Wilks on your staff.
What about on the offensive side? Let me ask you, if you have that, if you have somebody like Wilks who's been, even though, you know, small sample, the guy in the building, are you more open-minded to having a youngish, first-time-ish OC because you've got that DC who has been charge?
No, I want to go experience.
Both.
I want experience on
offense. Me too. Who is that guy on offense?
I don't know. Even more, Nathaniel Hackett. even more. I mean, he's got head coaching experience. He's got OC. He's had success with the current quarterback. So I think that I would value an offensive coordinator with experience even more so than I would. I love the addition of Wilks potentially,
mm-hmm.
but I really would want, if at least you're going to hire a first-time head coach, I at least want to surround him. Like, that was one thing they didn't do with the other guys.
I know.
You at least want to hire him, specifically with Salah. I at least want to hire a proven, experienced offensive coordinator to go along with the rookie first-time head coach.
Well, I mean, listen, here's one thing that I think is pretty clear, at least based on the names, whatever, that and I understand the fear that it's going to mirror the mistakes of the last few hires that we've chronicled many times here on the show. But if you hire a DC with a lot of experience or an OC with a lot of experience, that's something that Salah didn't have. And there's no way a rookie starting week one for the Jets next year. So you mitigate that learning curve as well.
Right. You've already changed. Well, we could say, well, it's the same thing hiring a head coach without experience. It's a totally different infrastructure,
yeah,
which you would think could lead to potentially better results. Sal is in Katona. What's up, Sal?
Hey, guys. I mean, this thing about experience that you guys keep throwing around just is so silly. I mean, a guy with experience who's going to be second in charge to Aaron Glenn is a guy who's failed with experience. The important thing is...
Hold on. That's not true.
Sal, hold on.
Before we get into that, you can't just say Steve Wilks has failed in other spots. He got 1 year in Arizona. That's not fair to him.
What is Aaron Glenn?
Steve, are you listening to what I'm saying or no? Because we're not going to have the conversation. You said Steve Wilks has failed. You're minimizing that hire for a guy who was a head coach twice.
But there will, of course, be guys with experience on the staff. But Aaron Glenn recognizes that. What is Aaron Glenn? Aaron Glenn is a guy who came into Texas A&M. He was 5'6" tall. He was 170 pounds. He was overlooked there, and he ascended to be a top pick, one of the best. He also was part of the worst when it was with Kotite, and saw that team, you know, the Kotite team that Parcells inherited was totally capped out and had no quarterback, and he saw that team achieve success. He was somebody who was totally overlooked, and he was the best of the best. He's going to get experienced guys, but he was overlooked as a tiny guy. He was overlooked as somebody as an almost like 12th on the depth chart, but became a top pick. When you're the worst of the worst and then the best of the best, you relate to everybody.
It's a good point. That's a good, listen, you know I love Aaron Glenn here. The other thing, too, Aaron Glenn was a good special teams player. Wasn't just a good quarter. Right. Everybody says, oh, good player. Yeah, he was a good player. He was locking down a lot of receivers, also housing a bunch of balls in the punt game, you know, in the special team game.
How was Magic Johnson as a basketball player? I forget.
Magic.
Yeah. And how was he as a head coach? Hmm.
So I don't talk show host.
Well, whatever.
Remember the Magic Hour?
Yeah.
That was, I don't mean now on ESPN. Whatever. I mean, like, remember he had that late night show Magic?
I remember that? They tried to do
it's
that.
It's the Magic Hour.
But the point
it's
is,
terrible.
He's the first one that comes to mind because he was the best that I remember going from player to being a head coach, and it didn't mean squat.
Larry Bird was a coach, too. Yeah, and Larry was a pretty good coach. Much better than Magic, but he was pretty good with the Pacers.
But,
yeah.
But the point is, it doesn't matter. Like, a lot of the best head coaches are guys. How many downs did Sean McVay play?
Yeah.
In the NFL, but you take him. So, yeah, that's great. It sounds nice. I'm not mocking it or anything. I'm rooting for Aaron Glenn. I think he's easy to root for. But don't say that that means that he's going to be a great head coach. What about Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick? I mean, what was their playing experience? Did they experience the lows of the lows? Were they overlooked at 5, whatever you're talking about? Like, no. So, come on, there's different ways to do it. Doesn't mean Glenn can't be it, but I'd rather have a resume of somebody who's actually done it before.
Yeah, listen, by the way, I don't want to misrepresent Sal's point.
Yeah.
A little bit all over the map early, but what I took away from that is not so much that Aaron was a great player and it's going to correlate to success, more, and I do subscribe to this thought, the struggles or being overlooked and being on awful teams, it should enable him to relate to the entire room. Because he wasn't that 5-star kid who was a top 10 player, even though when you go to A&M, you're a stud. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a little undersized, a little overlooked, get to the NFL, get your face kicked in, you win one game, Parcells comes in, cleans house, you go to a few different stops, moribund franchises, including Detroit, you're part of the ascension. That's important to be able to relate. That's why they say a lot of catchers, like backup catchers or non-stars or minor leaguers like Buck Showalter, who didn't have success at the major league level but grinded in the minors, that they're good managers because they can relate to the guy who's been up and down the AAA Express, but they've also know the game enough. They played with guys who hit .330, so they have access to the mentality of the entire room. And to me, that's actually really valuable. If that's what Sal was saying, and I'm not sure if that was exactly it, but if that's what he was trying to say, I agree.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I mean, it's nice, but to me, it doesn't mean he's going to be a great head coach. All right, we have a good soundbite here from Aaron Glenn. I know you were all about Glenn and some of the stuff that he was saying. Here's one of the parts, kind of that Sal was alluding to about his story and maybe the process of getting overlooked or coaching under or playing under Bill Parcells.
I'm hearing all these stories, you know, Parcells like these 6-foot corners, these 6'2", and hell, I ain't that, you know, and I'm hearing all these, well, he's going to trade you because you're not his type. So I keep hearing all these stories, but he wasn't telling me this. You know, so I know my mentality and who I am, so I'm going to try him. So I'm going to go up there and ask him, man, if you're going to trade me, then trade me. You know, so he told me shut that door, and I did.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
He said, have a seat. I sat and he said, listen, everybody got a price on their head, right? My own wife got a price on her head. If somebody was to offer me a good deal, then she's going to be gone. So if somebody offered me a good deal for you, you're going to be gone. I have to respect it.
Right.
I say, yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, look, he seems like a great guy and obviously has a lot of experience. Does not mean he's going to be a great or even good head coach. It also doesn't mean because he doesn't have experience that he can't be a great head coach. Who knows? We're going to find out potentially, assuming that he doesn't leave the building today and gets hired. But I think I personally would just rather value experience in doing this job before than another first timer here with this franchise and with this owner.
Okay.
That quote, by the way, was from 2 years ago.
That.
2 years ago on the Pivot podcast.
With Ryan, that's the Ryan Clark one. I think that's what it is, right? All right, so good. So my favorite line there is, I'm going to try him. I mean, this guy's got the stones as a young kid to try Bill Parcells. All right, now, this doesn't mean that this is going to just go seamlessly and he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. But to me, and if you really listen to his tone and his inflection and the easiness in which he delivers his words, it's authentic, which means, you know, he's comfortable in his skin. And I'm going to ask you this, and just rewind all the sound bites over the years. Did Robert Saleh ever sound like that? Did Adam Gase ever sound like that? And that, even though Todd Bowles is a better coach than those guys, did Todd Bowles ever sound like that? The answer is no. And if he sounds like that in a public setting, on a podcast that eventually becomes public, how do you think he's going to sound when there's no cameras and he's talking to a guy on his team, either good or bad? I think
I think Bowles
doesn't mean it's going to work. I love what I just heard.
Of the three that you mentioned, I think Bowles was comfortable with being himself. I just don't think that people here in New York embraced his true self.
That's fair. That's a fair point. I don't think that I agree with that. It was very monotone.
Two, yeah.
I agree. He didn't put on an act. I felt like, I can't prove it. It doesn't matter. But I felt like Saleh. You think about that. What was
I'm
that
with
stupid
you.
Analogy with the crows and the birds and the. We came in the next day, I'm like, that was corny. I'm just not buying it. And if we're not buying it, you think 50 dudes, you know, in a lot playing football in the heat, they're buying it.
Right, and Gase, same thing. And that's why I said I do think Glenn has the proper at least attitude or demeanor to handle the media and maybe win over fans. Now, is he going to be a good head coach? We'll find out. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Come back, have a little bald face truth, bald face lie. Continue with your calls on the Jets as well, 888-808-1019.
Now, time for Bald Face Lie, Bald Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. Bam, bam, bam. All right, BT and Sal back on the fan. Little Bald Face Truth, Bald Face Lie. Hoff, what do you got for us on this Tuesday?
All right, BT, start with you. Dodgers are done spending this offseason. Bald Face Truth, Bald Face Lie.
I don't know what other holes they. Not to steal your lie. How many roster spots they have? Did MLB expanded by five slots? I would say bull face lie. I mean, it's definitely not going to be a starting pitcher. It's not going to be a relief pitcher. They've got great players everywhere. Maybe like an ancillary fourth outfielder. I don't know, rotational piece off the bench. But I'd have to think that this is the team that's going to win 118 games this year.
If you would have asked me that yesterday, I would have said that's a bald-faced truth. They're done spending. Where else are they going to spend? Like, enough's enough. And then they reportedly get Kirby Yates, and I guess it's not official yet, so who knows, but sounds like it's trending in that direction. Yeah, I just don't know. I like, literally, we should bring up their roster and count the roster spots of which names could potentially be replaced on their 26-man roster. I mean, it's ridiculous what the Dodgers have done, but I would tend to agree with BT and say that I think now at this point, it's probably safe to say they are done spending.
Okay, for now. We'll find out tomorrow.
And Pete Alonso gets announced at the Dodgers.
Sal, to you, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Mark Andrews needs to face the media and fans before the end of the playoffs about his dropped two-point conversion.
You know, that's a bald-faced truth, and I'm glad you brought that up. Not only do I think it's ridiculous that Andrews didn't face the media and he had an awful game, and he is, if you had to pick one reason why they lost, it would be him. But did you hear some of the talk that, I forget where I heard this. I don't know if I heard it on Sports
That it wasn't
talk.
A good throw?
Yeah.
Boomer was saying that.
Oh, was it Boomer this
Boomer
morning?
Boomer was saying, and he wasn't alone, but Boomer said that.
Dude, come on now. Well, what, does it got to be perfect? Like, was Boomer the one saying Lamar's making $55 million a year?
I didn't hear Boomer say the money.
Chris Sims
on
the
KMs. Oh, that's where I heard it. There you go. Well, okay.
Chris had the same opinion.
And maybe they played the cut. Maybe it was CeeLo. That's where I heard it this morning. Yes, Chris Sims saying, oh, he's making $55 million a year. He's got to make it better. I mean, come on. I get it. Lamar Jackson's a great player, and you want everything to be perfect. It's reality. It's football. He's on the run. It's slick weather. Like, so all the excuses that everybody's putting in place for Andrews, you can ignore that when you talk about Lamar Jackson trying to make that throw? The throw was there. Make the catch. I mean, good God.
I know that Chris said, he did say that he's got to make a better throw. But, yeah, I was surprised. Boomer said the same stuff. How was it worded, though, just so I answer this the proper way about Andrews' face and the music?
He needs to do it before the end of the playoffs.
I'm going to say bald-faced lie. It's too late. It's too late because the meaningful period of evaluation and accountability has expired. And, yeah, maybe if he gets around to it on some pod with a former player, that'll satisfy some people. I'm not looking to crucify the guy, but my evaluation of how we handle that is already set. Nothing will change. Immediately after the game, you've got to do it. If not, you get a cool down period of one day. Still didn't do it? I don't care. He dropped the ball.
Final one for you, BT. Mike Kafka will not return to the Giants in 2025.
I'm going to say bald-faced truth. I mean, he almost didn't return a year ago, and now, you know, he's in demand. Why is he in the demand that he's in? By the way? If anybody can answer that, is maybe the fourth question. I'd love to know the answer. I don't know. I mean, geez. It's like, well, it's funny. All of our guys can do nothing. Everybody wants to hire. Robert Saleh's got three interviews. Kafka's on every hiring board, apparently. I just feel like the writing's on the wall. Last year, it was probably of somebody else's volition. This year, it's probably of his own where he chooses to leave. So, bald-faced truth, I believe he's gone.
Yeah, a bald-faced truth, because it sounds like, especially if Glenn is going to be the Jets hire as a head coach, like, I think the dominoes will fall. If Glenn does leave the building without a deal, he's going to go interview in New Orleans, and maybe he gets that job over Kafka, and then obviously would change things, and Kafka comes back, because I don't think he's rumored to be anywhere else. It was Chicago, right? Didn't he interview with Chicago?
I think so. You don't think Flores would be on the Saints list at that? I guess not.
I remember I told you yesterday, Flores doesn't get the Jets job. I don't think he's getting a job.
Yeah, we talked about that. You might be right.
I think I just get the feel, and I guess New Orleans, because of the weather, had to push the interviews back this week. So Kafka, instead of it being today, his second interview is going to be later in the week.
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling that that's going to be their hire. I don't know why. I'm with you. Now, remember, a couple years ago, and I would never subscribe to, okay, well, just because Dable and Kafka got the most out of Jones and won a road playoff game, you should hire Kafka immediately. But if you liked him then, why wouldn't you then like him now? It's not just off of that 1 year. It's that you believe in his offensive principles.
Yes.
So then I can understand it, why he might be appealing in some regard. But, I mean, dude, the Giants' offense has been the worst offense in the league.
It's ridiculous.
For two straight years, they can't move the ball. You're going to hire this guy off of it?
I don't know. About this, those are the three questions right there, Hop. I'm a little surprised. 2 hours into the show, not a single reference to what I believe is a beautiful plum turtleneck of the mock variety.
Didn't even notice.
Nice little sweater turtleneck here. You guys haven't said a word based on the turtleneck history.
It fits well. That's why we haven't said anything.
Now you sound like my wife. Oh, you didn't notice I got my hair cut or what I'm wearing? I'm like...
No, the other one's I was stuffed in like a sardine. That black one was too tight. That was definitely too tight. The one that I did the pod and with the Patino interview, that was definitely too tight. I do admit
it also had a double like rollover.
Thick. It was almost like a Popeye turtleneck. This is a little more modified. The box.
You couldn't help but notice it with the other one. I really didn't notice it. I mean, you know. Come on, dude. We're dudes.
I hope you're not looking at my shoes. And you know, but you always make fun of me. I thought you guys would, the window would be open more fun of me.
That should tell you that if we're not making fun of you, that it looks...
It's acceptable.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's not noticeable enough to be like, what the hell is he wearing?
I hear you. That was a bad look still. I dropped with that black one. I dropped the ball.
No, you said...
But I looked at it again and compared to... I thought I was buying mocks. I didn't know that was not a mock. It just rolls up so, if it gets extra cold, I could just poke holes in it for my eyes, and I could wear it as a hat and a...
Final question. Who do you think in this room would look worse in a turtleneck?
You.
Me?
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to say Dove.
Out of all of us?
Out of all of us, yeah.
Well, you know, Dove, although for religious purposes, you're allowed, you just elect to wear the white shirt, correct, Dove?
Correct.
Okay. I think he'd look pretty good. Him with the turtleneck, he would look like the sage, wise voice that he is.
Instead of dressing us up in clown costumes and WWE stars, maybe the loser has to start wearing mock turtlenecks. So the
speaking of the WWE, I'll do this a little later. I got an update on something with the little issue with the costume, perhaps.
Oh.
I got to run something by you guys. I'm not backing out. Don't worry. Look at this guy's face.
You got the red paint?
The paint's the easiest part.
Okay.
I'll run it by you later.
Delay in shipping?
No.
Hoff, where are you?
I have everything.
No, do it later. Not now. We'll do it. There's not enough time. I want to do it later.
Okay.
You have to flush some stuff out here.
I don't like the sound of that.
You might not like the delivery of it. I will do it on the air later.
BT and Sal, all the fellas get back to the folds. We've been talking Jets and their head coach search. Scott is in Franklin Lakes. What's up, Scott?
All right. So the Jets have interviewed all these people. I don't understand why they haven't considered or looked at, and if they have, it's news to me, Matt Nagy, Super Bowl champ.
They spoke to him.
Experienced head coach.
They did. Scotty, they spoke to
what
Matt.
What are they doing about?
Evidently not hiring him.
Why would he be considered?
I don't think so.
Compared to Aaron Glenn, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, Nagy.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Well, what?
Go ahead, Scott.
We can't do his hands. I'm sorry. Jeez, that was. I tried to step in there. I think there was a little bit of a delay.
I think there is a half a second delay there. Maybe not Scott's fault.
Yeah, which is the problem there. But I'd be curious to see why he would just say, Aaron Glenn, what are you kidding me, in comparison to Nagy. Like, at least give the, hey, I want an offensive guy.
Yep.
Nagy's had some experience. He fits more what I would want than Aaron Glenn does. I don't know if Nagy, again, would be the guy. Just because I say I want, theoretically, experience and offense, it doesn't mean I would go Nagy because he has both over Aaron Glenn.
Well, Nagy's also a visor guy.
Can he
get away with that? I actually am. I like visors.
Really?
I do. I got some. A
turtle
lot of golf
and visors, huh?
I love visors. Actually, give it a little 1-inch tilt. Yeah,
I always felt
get that street cred going. Just a little 1-inch tilt.
This could be wrong, but I always felt like a visor had to be with somebody that has hair. Like, you or I are bald.
No. Why? Because if anything, it obscures the fact. Not that I mean, everybody knows I'm bald. I'm not trying to hide it. But if you wear a visor, now your dome's going to get baked.
And you get nothing on. That's what I'm saying. Like, you get nothing on
I'm
top.
I'm not saying I would wear it in 93-degree heat playing golf. Like, but if it's like 65,
the visor, you're showing off the hair that you have. I don't know if you could wear a visor.
Well, it's more of an accessory. Hmm. Anyway, about Nagy, the appeal... Visor aside, I just don't think has a head coach ever been a visor guy in New York?
New York.
That's where I was going. Either way, I don't think Herm was. Maybe not.
Herm.
But here's the appeal with Nagy. I was just going through the coaches.
Coat tight. No, he was a hat guy, right? Not a visor.
He should have been a brown paper bag guy. I think the appeal, Sal, maybe for some with Nagy, and I get this, is that he won some games with Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. Hey, I think you could
still
do worse.
Backup.
I think you could do worse than Nagy. He still would not be my choice based on the other options out there.
Yeah,
if you're gonna hire Nagy, why wouldn't you just hire Mike McCarthy?
Well, true, but for those who like Aaron Glenn and I do, you should ask me why not Matt Nagy over Aaron Glenn? I don't know that I have a good answer except gut. I don't really have a good answer, and I got to be honest with you. When I saw that the Jets were interviewing Nagy, I'm like, I don't want this dude. This guy just. I don't really mean it this way. I'm like, this guy's a loser. Right. I don't want him.
He doesn't project the way Glenn does.
I don't know what it was, but then, and I also think, not that he was, Lombardi, I think I understated what he did with a very average to subpar quarterback in Chicago. And by the way, the Bears aren't a good franchise. He had a little success for a bad franchise with an average to below average quarterback. I don't know why that's not more appealing to me.
You know who he'd remind me of if he got the second chance
here?
Hold on,
let me see, hold on. Who? Jim Fossil?
No. Well, you just go based off the visor?
No, I don't know why.
Was Fossil a visor guy? I feel like he was.
I think he was.
Yeah. So far, no one's worn a visor. I got to
Fossil,
be
look at Jim Fossil. He might have been a visor guy.
I think his son definitely wore a visor.
He just got hired again somewhere I saw.
Special Jim did?
Guy. No, his son.
His son did. No, I know.
You know, Jim's passed away.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course.
Oh, what was I going to say?
Hi, Joe Beningo.
Jeez, that's just, of course I know he passed away. I was on the air with Tiki when he passed away. Tiki got choked up. Come on, don't put me into that. Come on.
No,
I love Fossil. I really do. Great guy. Great guy.
Where the hell was he? Oh, where Nagy would remind me. It's not nice. Fossil was a good head coach.
He was.
R.I.P. So Nagy would remind me of, like, Gase. A second-time guy, offensive guy. Like, at the time, I liked the idea of Gase, but a guy who, in his first stop, didn't really project, you know, confidence.
Breaking news. Jim Fossil does wear a visor. Or
there
did wear a visor. There
we
you
got
go.
It right. We got it right. He's also no longer with us.
He doesn't still wear it.
No, I said that wrong.
He did when he wore it, right?
He did. Yeah, so I got pictures
of the
visor.
I thought so.
We got that.
He's a good-looking guy, Jim. Jim can rock the visor.
He had some success here.
You could wear a visor.
I actually,
you look like Matt Nagy now that I think about it.
What? Where does this come from?
Throw a visor on the... Hold on. Hoff, do me a favor. On our BT and Sal Twitter account,
yes.
Get a picture of this guy. Have somebody superimpose a visor
Cap
and then put Nagy. And I guarantee it's pretty close.
I got to look at Matt Nagy again. Maybe on second thought, he's not like Adam Gase. Hire Matt Nagy.
Actually, I think Adam Gase was like a complete geek. I don't get that sense with Nagy.
Meaning,
I thought,
like,
Nagy projected better than Gase.
I never got that. Again, here when we watch him was a little bit different, but I just feel like experienced offensive coordinator failed first stop,
yep.
And I didn't get great projection from Nagy the first time.
I know you didn't. Okay, but we're getting hung up, and I'm not changing my mind and saying they should call Nagy now and have a second interview with him, but I as we do this out loud, I wonder, and I don't really have a good answer, just flushing through it in real time. I don't know why Nagy wasn't more appealing to me, and while he might not have seemed like, you know, he admitted whatever we want a coach to admit, the guy won some games with Mitch Trubisky for an awful franchise.
I get it. You're selling me on him, honestly.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.